Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are the Blended Life.
Hey you guys, and today we're talking about lies. The lies that we tell ourselves and we actually believe.
Welcome back. We're going to go ahead and jump right into this one.
Yeah, we're talking about the lies that we tell ourselves and we actually believe them. There's a lot of them, right?
Do you ever just like stop and think like, man, I'm a liar. To call yourself a liar?
I sometimes, because I think that when we believe lies, we really give the enemy a foothold into our, like our, not just like our marriage and our family, but even with ourselves. Like insecurities and things that we believe that make us lesser of a human and knock us down and keep us low, like a lower version of ourselves. When we start giving into these lies and believing these lies, everyone else experiences a lower version of us and our family. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've always like been so hyper focused on not being a liar that I used to get accused after my separation and divorce of being a liar from my ex, that I was like so hyper focused on making sure like, all right, is this the truth? Like make sure like everything about this in a text, in a conversation, make sure every single part of this is perfect and I can support it, that I got so hyper focused on that I'm like, it would be so hard to become a liar now, like, because I'm so hyper-focused and it's just so embedded into my brain that I'm like, what's, like, the opposite of a liar? It's, like, the absolute truth teller. Yeah, that's a hard place.
Well, that just sounds like anxiety, too. Like, that's yeah. A really, like, I got to fact-check myself before I send a text and be able to support it with examples.
Yeah,
like hyper-vigilant.
Yeah, the thing that like really got me into that, and I think where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I think was like dealing with family court, family law, and like going there and I'm like sitting there on the stand and I'm getting presented with this stuff, like these crazy things that are like lies, but they're lies about me and lies that apparently I did and I said, and it's just manipulation.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about the highlighter one.
Oh yeah.
That just is wild. Funny to me. Like that
was wild.
But that's why I was giggling.
But anyway, so I'm like, how do you, I remember sitting there on the stand one time, I'm like, how do I combat lies and things that aren't true if I have no basis to prove it wrong?
It's just your word against hers.
Yeah, and it's a lie. So I'm like, it's all out of context anyways to begin with. So I'm like, I have this situation and this hasn't happened regardless. So how do I prove it otherwise? Like, how do you prove something that doesn't exist otherwise, you know, without like a full-blown like trial lawyer, you know? And then it just becomes their word against yours, which, okay, whatever. But that was mind-blowing to me.
So I'm curious. I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but you had an attorney.
Yes.
So what did your attorney advise you on how to handle that?
Because
you obviously,
I don't know if
they were there.
If that was exactly basically, and it's funny, when I hired and interviewed my lawyer, I basically went into it and I said, look, all I care about is not losing my children. My big focus at that time was my family.
And it's always been.
Yeah. But it was like, I don't want anything extra. I don't want to lie. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to, basically, I wanted to combat all the lies and not have to pay her hundreds or tens of thousands or whatever it ended up being. I didn't want it to be like, all right, this is some craziness because I'm not even the one ending this. And now all these lies are being spread about me. And now I'm having to pay not only her, but her lawyer and her fees. You know, I'm like, wait, so I'm paying for this whole thing. This isn't something I wanted in the first place. I'm like, I just need to get away from this. I need out of this. It felt like chaos to me. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, chaos. But did your lawyer give you, like, so?
My lawyer's advice was go up there and tell the truth.
Yeah, don't that's lie. All you can do.
Don't say anything else. Don't, you know, and I'm like, how do I combat this? These are lies. What do I say to a lie? You know, other than no, you know, but it's just like, and then anyways, yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really hard.
It gives me anxiety, like thinking about it right now, because it's such a place of manipulation that you can't win. And like in my head right now, like even just thinking about this right now, there's so much chaos involved with it where I'm just like, what are we talking about next?
Yeah. You know, my mom always said, what do you call her? The philosopher Trudé?
Yeah, Trudé.
She's like, you don't really know someone until you divorce them.
Oh, gosh.
And then you learn who they really are.
I'm sure, you know what? And I like to think of myself as not someone like that because I'm like, if you don't want to be with me and don't want to be around me, like, just forget about me. Just leave me alone. And I said that multiple times. I should have had that just tattooed across my face. Maybe on my lower lip.
There's still time.
Maybe on my lower lip. But I'm like, if you don't want me in your life and you don't want me a part of your life and around you, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
That's all. Just cut ties with me. Get away. Let's co-parent or not. Let's set up a schedule. I'll drop off. I'll pick up. Let's just leave each other alone as much as possible.
Yeah. The lies are really hard. And I know we've talked about this a lot on this podcast. We both have been extraordinarily lied about, accused falsely of things, and that's trickled down to the kids, and that's a real shame. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know the goal of trying to hurt kids' relationships with the other parent, but you know, here we are. So lies we tell ourselves, though. I think this is really an important topic to tackle because this is something I deal with a lot in my coaching practice. And so I'm a life coach and I work with adults and blended families, although that's my specialty, right? Because I'm a child of divorce. So I've been a stepchild since I was a year old. And now at almost 42, I'm a stepmom, a co-parent, a bio parent, married to someone with their own children. And so this is something very near and dear to my heart. And it's important to talk about the lies we tell ourselves. Another way I say this in my coaching practice is called limiting beliefs.
Right.
Beliefs that have glass ceilings. Beliefs that keep us stuck and hold us down and keep us from having the experience we want in our blended family or with our children or stepchildren or even with ourselves. And so really quickly, why is this important? And then I'll go through, like I wrote down some lies. But this is really important because whatever we believe informs the experience that we're going to have. So our beliefs inform our experience. So if we believe a lie, then we will experience that lie in our family, in our relationship with ourselves, at work. Whatever the lie is about, we believe it, we experience that belief. And then that experience reinforces the lie because we experienced it now.
Right.
And it's kind of this interesting human condition. Like, it's how our brains are wired. Whatever we believe informs our experience, and then our experience reinforces that belief. And so it's our ego keeping us sane. So you could raise a child to believe and worship the tree in the backyard.
If you start them at birth, you mean?
Yes.
Wow, interesting.
Right? Like you could.
Would that make them technically a little tree hugger?
It would.
Okay.
They probably would, right? Yeah. And their experience with this tree is going to be.
Imagine.
Yes.
I always wonder about true. That. Like, are there people that like truly just raise a kid? I mean, I know F1 drivers are like truly raised just to drive F1 cars. Like that's a special breed, you know? But are there people that like truly like, I'm going to have this kid just so I can make them think that ice cream and marshmallows are the devil. Like, you cannot ever look or touch at ice cream and marshmallows.
That's pretty extreme, probably. You know? Yeah. There's a lot of weird people, you know, who mean? Believe a lot of really weird things.
Or
you
just
know?
To worship things or do special things. I mean, I don't know. People are crazy.
People are crazy.
Yeah. You all know this because you've all been divorced, so people are crazy. Everyone's laughing right now.
Everyone's laughing and probably thinking that they're crazy themselves, because divorce makes you crazy. Even if you're feeling like you're the sane one, you get divorced and we've all gone off the deep end. You know what I mean? Like it's a crazy thing.
Some of us
thing.
More than others.
Yeah. And so when I work with people in blended families, we talk a lot about changing the experience that they're having, whether it's with their in their marriage or with their stepchildren or their co-parenting experience. And we know that we can't change other people. So we have to work on ourselves, right? All I can do, I'm the variable in this science experiment that I can control. So if I want to change my experience, you got to back up and figure out your belief system. And one of the biggest ways to do that is really expose the lies that you're believing or the limiting beliefs that you're holding on to that are preventing you and blocking you from having an experience that you really want to be having. So you don't get divorced or have bad relationships in your blended family. Does that make sense?
100%. So this is something that you can teach families, though. You can teach people, right?
That's right. That's right, Eric. I can. I'm just kidding. Yeah. So I totally need to announce this too.
Okay. I don't work with males because I used to be one.
Yeah. No, this is really exciting. And I totally was not even going to talk about it until you just said that. And it sparked my memory that I am starting a new group for blended life families. Well, not families, adults in blended families. I'm starting a new life coaching group called Blended Life Coaching. And it's a small group. I'm only opening it up to 6 people because I want everyone to be seen, heard, and be able to be coached. So this is going to be via Zoom. It starts Thursday, October 12th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it's really cool because I made it a hybrid this time around. So you get 9 group coaching sessions. They're going to happen bi-weekly. So every other week, and then you get 3 private one-on-one coaching sessions as well with this package. And that's really cool because sometimes you need to talk about things that require not a group setting to discuss, you know, but then we want the group setting because we grow in community. That's what we were created for. And it's really important to build community. So I'm super excited about this. If you want more information on how you can save and purchase your spot in this group coaching program, email me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and I will send you over information. But I'm really excited. It's going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Exciting.
Okay. Back to lies.
Okay.
So I a while ago on our socials, I asked people to tell me what lies they believe that are affecting their experience in their blended family.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be fun to go through these and like see if you and I experience any of them ourselves.
All right.
So the first one I know I've experienced, and I'm pretty sure you have too. The lie that the other person's going to change. They're going to change.
Yeah, but here we are.
Kids will grow out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Those are really, really interesting lies. Not that that can't happen, but people walk down the aisle banking on change. And that's a really scary thing, because if you're waiting for somebody to grow out of a bad habit or change when they mature or get in, I mean, that's a big risk, because people don't change unless they want to. And that's kids included.
I feel like a lot of people do change, especially in marriage, after you walk down the aisle. However, it's not the way that the other person is hoping for.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Yeah. If anything, habits just get worse. Manners just get worse. Tempers just get worse.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone's on their best behavior in the beginning.
Yeah.
So if you don't like them at their best behavior, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just gets worse. And I wish, like, this is what I tell people too. Are you going to, if nothing changes, like, let's just say the person you're getting is the person you're getting and nothing changes. Are you going to be okay?
Right.
If your stepchild that you're inheriting in this marriage never changes because they don't grow out of certain things, are you going to be okay?
Well, especially when kids are little, you know, like, kids are little brat holes when they're little. What happens when they're older?
They're Look at our brat kids. Holes. Teenagers are just.
No, I know.
I don't know.
Luckily, teenage years are only a decade.
I don't know.
Sucks.
Teenagers are hard. But yeah, it's so that's a lie we tell ourselves that somebody's going to change.
You know what? A lie we tell ourselves is that teenagers are hard, you know, or that every stage
that will be your experience if you believe it.
Every stage is a blessing. No, you know what? I feel like teenagers are just 100% bipolar opposites. Like, teenagers are extremely fun. They're extremely good. They're extremely great. And then they're all opposite of that. Like, they are the worst. They're the most terrible. I'm like, everything about teenage sucks. So only 50% about everything teenage sucks. Like, everything is either great or it sucks. There's not really like, yeah, whatever, you know? It's one or the other. But it really, it's like, see, it's like super bipolar. Like, teenage years for kids either are wonderful or they suck. Yeah. And it's both. It's yes.
It's yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, number two. It doesn't matter what the... Oh, so this is actually mine. I wrote this one down. This is a lie I wanted to believe because I felt like it was so self-righteous and I thought it sounded really good, and attached myself to it, and I'm like, oh, this is a lie.
Yep.
So the lie I believed was, it doesn't matter what the other parent thinks of me.
Doesn't it?
It totally matters what the other parent thinks of me.
Oh, well, then you're going to be so bummed all the time. If I hung my hat on what the other parent thought of me, I'm like,
well, it's not that. But hear me out. The lie about that was how my co-parent and even his wife thinks of me. That is not lost on my children. Right?
No, that's the worst part about
that's,
it.
That's like, the
you
lie.
Could care less what they think about you.
Does that's not it?
But it doesn't, because yeah.
It's but it does matter, because it affects the kids, right? It affects the kids on so many levels. You know, the biases and what's talked about and what's snickered about, and you know, the kids aren't dumb. They know how you feel about their mom. And also, the co-parenting relationship's really difficult if you're co-parenting with somebody who like detests you. And that affects the kids. A bad co-parenting really. I just choked on
that. What was that?
I'm choking on myself.
You're throwing up on the topic.
I know, it's really disgusting. But the co-parenting relationship, if that's hard and strained, that's also the kids feel the hard and strained co-parenting relationship. You know, to the point where they don't want to be around both parents at the same time because it's so uncomfortable. Because there's such disdain or such whatever. And so that is the lie. That's what I mean. Like, it totally matters what the other parent thinks of you. It affects the kids greatly. And it can alter your relationship with your children, too, because kids believe lies, right? Like, this is the ripple effect of that. Whatever lies the other house is telling the children, They want to believe both parents are right, right? Yeah. Like, we are naturally inclined to see our parents as like authority figures and the tellers of truth. And so when the other parent thinks so poorly of you and is imparting false truth into this child, child absorbs that, and it does affect your relationship with said child. And that's really, really hard. That's a really hard pill to swallow. And it does matter. So that's a lie.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. No, I don't want to. Oh, so this is something I hear from clients, that it's so much easier being a single parent.
I mean, it could be. Then what? Than being...
Like, blended life is so hard.
Okay.
It's so hard that it'd be so much, like, people fantasize, like, it would be so much easier just to be a single parent. And I'm like, oh, let's explore that, right? Because if that's what you believe, then all you're going to see in your blended family is all the problems. All you're going to pick apart in your marriage is all the things that are going wrong. Because you're just going to be like, this is, it's easier to not be with these people. So to prove yourself right, all you're going to see is the bad and the negative. And that's unfortunate because you're now manifesting you're going to be a single parent if that's what you're
attached
to.
Well, and then it's also, it's just the grass is greener effect, you know?
That's right.
The grass is greener on the side. Well, yeah, of course it always is, you know, but.
There are some things easier, but I can tell you we weren't created to be alone.
That's why we have our grandma.
Some of us.
More than others.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably call my grandma tomorrow and say, what's up, grandma?
Okay.
You're so cool.
We should go fly her here and put her on this podcast.
That'd be funny.
She's dealt with and seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah. She was never, well, I guess after she remarried, she had stepchildren. But this is like, grandma remarried in like her 70s.
I wonder what she thought of her stepchildren in her 70s.
They were brat holes. They were terrible. They were so mean to her. They were so terrible. And like my grandma, like is my grandma, like
your grandma's the best grandma.
She's literally the best person.
The best person. Yeah.
So anyways, but that whole side of the family had like some serious issues.
Even in your 70s, you guys, doesn't absolve hardship. And
well, and here's
families.
The thing too. And here's a good testament to that. Like, even though like we're young and like, oh yeah, well maybe we'll find someone when we're older or get through this time in life. Like my grandma remarried, I think in her 70s, maybe she remarried in her 60s. And went through her 70s, you know, and that marriage did not end well for her or him, you know.
Sorry, that's
you
not
can't
funny.
Laugh at
I'm
that.
Sorry.
God, are you going to tell all the listeners now?
Nope.
No. It's a tragic story.
It's an awful story.
It's awful.
I remember where I was when I found out.
Yeah.
Like, that's how significant it is. I remember nothing, but I remember when I was when I got that phone call from you. So
yeah.
Another lie that we believe and is actually really detrimental to our well-being and then thus our family. Because whenever our well-being is not okay, our whole family is not okay.
Right.
So when you believe that you're alone, and this is a big one, this is a big reason why I'm doing this group coaching in October, this new group, is because in blended families, the number one thing I hear is I feel so alone. Nobody understands. I am alone. And that's a really dangerous place to be. And it's not true. You're not alone. There's a lot of people who are in blended families. You just got to find them. Build community. And if you don't have community, you build it. You create it. And you're not alone. You have your kids. You have stepkids. You have a husband. You have a co-parent. You have friends. And so we like to be alone in the victim. In alone, but the problem with that is that's a hopelessness that is really hard to dig your way out of. So when you think you're alone, it's a danger zone to be in. And so that's a lie you really should talk yourself out of. Have you ever really felt alone?
Most of the time.
Do you?
No.
That's all right.
Alone's not the right word.
Oh, do tell, pray tell the right word.
I don't have the right words for it.
There are no words for what you feel.
I'll think about it the next time I'm alone.
I can fix this.
Yeah, I thought that's what marriage was going to take care of.
A lie that we tell ourselves is that we can fix.
We changed topics. All right.
No, but we all, you know, there's this lie that we can fix broken relationships and we can fix this situation. Your mom's a fixer.
My mom tries to be a fixer.
But this is a thing, and I think men are wired that way to fix things, and like if something's wrong, I've got to fix it, as if you're the fixer of life. Like it's just interesting, but I think we all fall into that as if we have this hero complex that we're just going to rescue and fix. And that really just sets us up for disappointment because we can't change people.
I think we get to a point in life, though, and we're just not there yet. I'm starting to be there.
Oh, gosh.
Where you realize you can't fix everything, and you realize you can't do it all, and you can't help it all. And I think really where I noticed this was last week, and I'm at a photo shoot at a house, and I like to help everyone with everything. And there was the homeowner moving something, and I'm carrying a very, very heavy, like, full cinema camera, and they're trying to do something, and they're doing it, but they're kind of struggling with it, but they're doing it, and I normally would put down my camera and just do it for them and help, and I stopped, and I'm just like, that's not my job. I've got my job. I've got this heavy camera that weighs more than what they're trying to move right now, and it's more of a struggle than what they're trying to do right now. And they're doing that not because it needs to be done, because they want to do it. And I just sat there and let them do it. It's the first time I've probably ever done that. I would have put down my camera. I've
never heard you say anything like this ever.
I know. And I finally, and I'm just like, not my problem. It's not my issue. It's not, you know what I mean? Like it's going to cost and charge and expend me more to do this for them and cause more issues and hassles and headaches and tax me more than what I'm already doing. And I just let it be. And I think it's the first time in history that's ever happened.
Did you let it go?
Yeah, I totally did. I just sat there and waited. That's all I did. Just sat there and waited and let them
move. That awkward? That would have been awkward.
Yeah, but I also kind of had a talk with myself while I was doing this. And I'm like, it's awkward for me because I normally go out of my way to go above and beyond to help anything and everyone around me. And it's not the norm. For me to drop everything that I'm doing to help them move something because they wanted it moved differently, that's totally on them. That's not my problem. And I think more people probably see things like that, or most people are less giving or kind or caring when it comes to stuff like that. So most people, like, for instance, that person that was doing that probably didn't see anything weird about it. Like, they didn't ask me for help. Had they asked me for help, I for sure would have. But most people don't just drop things and help other people just out of the kindness, you know? Now, had it been an old lady crossing the street, I would have put down my camera and went and helped her, you know, or carried it and helped her still. But it was just one of those stupid things where I'm like, you're already costing me so much time by doing this and being here and just creating more hassle and headache in my life that I'm just like, you know what? You want to do that? I'm going to just go ahead and let you do that. But weird, right? Totally out of character for me.
Really out of character.
But I think it's the first time.
Did it feel good?
I don't know if it felt good, but it was like, no hassle. All right. And I didn't think about it anymore until right now. And that was a week ago. So interesting, right?
Yeah, you can't fix everything. You can't be everything to everyone.
No. And I'm realizing that. And I'm realizing even when you try to fix everything, or you try to be an answer or a solution person and you try to come up with it, like, a lot of times that's not what people need, and a lot of times that can actually become detrimental also. So
And I think it's part of us being able to hold other people capable of asking for help, and like holding other people capable of finding a solution themselves or making the best decision for themselves. You know, it's their life and they have choice. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't hold other people capable, and then people get offended by that, right? Yeah. This is when we like overstep or give our opinion when it's not asked for, or, you know, give our input when nobody like asked for our input. I've been guilty of that sometimes, and it's just like, it comes from a good place, but people really want to be held capable, to do for themselves and, you know, make good choices, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. So this one is not, I don't think we actively believe this, but I think subconsciously we do, that we can make everyone happy. And this kind of goes along with being all things to all people.
Yeah.
And that's something also I very, very much learned in my business is like, I'm not going to please everyone. I'm not, I might be the sweetest, kindest person, easiest to deal with. I pride myself on that. I go above and beyond to be just great for everyone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just can't please everyone. And yeah. I'm starting to learn that, and I don't take it personally.
Yeah.
You know, I used to take it very personally, and then I'm like, again, it's not my problem. I'm like, I can't do any more for you. Mm-hmm. I can't be any better or flexible or accommodating or whatever, you name it.
Yeah.
And it's still just not right. Like, this sounds more like a you problem. So really, you just get to a point where you're just like, okay.
Yeah. I felt like this in our family where I'm just trying to please everyone and no one's happy.
Oh, gosh. No, that's right? The worst place. Like, no, you got to at some point just give up.
No, but I think that's the lie is like I can make everyone happy. I can meet everyone's
but
needs,
I also think
you know?
that becomes a detriment to you. I think that becomes a problem because
for sure.
Well, because I mean, for instance, and just to call you out real quick.
Oh, goody.
Like you asked permission the other day from your daughter to go do something. Like you were basically telling her that you were asking her that you were going to go do something and making sure it was okay with her. And I have already talked to you about it. And, you know, you had your way of like, oh, yeah, this is what I was doing.
I was just checking in.
Yeah, but you were asking permission, basically, like to go to your office and like, okay, you're checking in. But the way you ask it, it was just like you were asking permission from a 13-year-old. And I'm like, wait. Like by trying to please our kids constantly, we're never going to please anyone because our kids then think that they run the show. Our kids then talk to us a certain way. Our kids then become equals in our household, and that's no good to anyone because now our kids and what they want and what they like and what they feel and what they think they deserve gets put above our spouses. And then all of a sudden, our children are running our households and our children become the head of our households. And that's I've seen it so many times and heard of it so many times, but I'm also like, I think we experience a little bit of that in our own households.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
So we had to check in and make sure it was fine. We came here to do the podcast with
Stop.
Our kids tonight.
Oh my gosh, I'm not being dramatic at all. This is one that step parents hear a lot.
What time do you have to be home, by the way?
I don't.
Do you have a curfew?
Okay. You're so funny.
I'm ready to hear it. Let's go.
So step parents hear this a lot when they are struggling in their blended families. You knew what you were getting into. And this is such a thing
who
that said
that,
oh
like
everyone.
Friends or parents or
yes.
Huh. I've never had anyone tell me that, but
I don't know how honest you are with people in your struggles in our blended family. But there
I don't talk to people.
That's my point.
Maybe
you wouldn't hear that.
Yeah, but maybe my parents, you know, like I have very open, honest conversations with my parents. But then
why your parents haven't talked to me for a while.
I'm like, they haven't talked to me either. Maybe they're just sick of our bullshit.
No, but this is interesting.
I was going to say something.
Oh.
But I think, real quick though, I think a lot of that comes down to who you surround yourself with, who you are venting to, who you are gossiping to, who you are conversating with. That comes down to who you are talking about things with. And the reason I'm thinking of this right now is because when I talk to my parents about my struggle or marriage struggles or I need help with this or parenting advice, my parents aren't naysayers who try to bring me down. My parents are people who try to keep me in line and give me reason. So if I am venting about a struggle you and I are having, my parents aren't like, yeah, she sucks. You knew what you were getting into. My parents are like, well, look at it this way. How about this? Have you said this? Have you thought of this? They're not trying to come between us. They're not trying to break us up. They're not trying to drive a wedge. They're trying to help me find a way of reason to repair what I'm complaining about. And that's a good relationship. What's that all about?
Nothing. I'm just taking that in.
Yeah. So, but my point though,
it's good. The company you keep, right?
Yeah. Surround yourself with people that aren't going to bring you down. If you're going to go vent to your guy friends or your girlfriends and they're going to bring you down about your spouse
or your partner, your significant other.
Or your stepchildren, right? Or your stepchildren. You knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
With your, because the stepmom.
And they're going to help pull those strings. They're going to grab that sweater and pull the string until there's nothing left. Then you knew what you were getting yourself into. Boom. Hang on.
You dropped the mic if you can't see us because you're listening. He just dropped the mic on the table. That's funny. Yeah, and the problem with believing this lie, you hear it enough, you start to believe it, and what that does is it just puts doubt in your head. And blended family life, step-parenting life, co-parenting life, it's hard enough without having doubt as well enter your mind. And it just creates room, again, for the enemy to come in and seek, kill, destroy relationships, which is, like, the point of that. And so that is a lie. And the thing, the lie about it is none of us really know what we're getting into in a blended family. Like, whatever. And I was just having this conversation with a friend. It doesn't matter. Blended family, career, marriage, if this is your first marriage, life doesn't usually turn out the way you thought it was going to, no matter what you decide you're going to do. Stay married, get divorced, get remarried, quit your job, go to college, start a new career, have children, don't have children. Like, however you play your life out, it never turns out like you think it's going to. So none of us know what we're getting into, really. Don't, wouldn't you say that even with business? Like, when you're starting a business, you think all these things and you're like,
oh. No, but that's the excitement of it, or at least it is for me. I'm like, where can this lead? Where can this go?
Are you excited every day then in our family?
I have very, and it's not bipolar. I've checked in with myself so many times.
Have you seen a psychiatrist?
I've checked in. I check in multiple times a day. It's not bipolar disorder.
You just talk to yourself a lot.
I have very high highs and I have very low lows.
Yep.
And it's not because I'm happy 1 minute and sad another minute, and I don't know why. It's literally because of circumstances. It's literally because of what I'm dealing with at the time. But also, what has also made me realize, like, no, it's not bipolar at all. As we sit here and laugh about it, is because I can bring it right back and I can control it. If I'm really pissed off, I can bring myself down off of it. If I'm really excited, I'm like, I can come to reason and be like, is that truly, like, worth being so excited about?
Do you get excited? What's the last thing you were excited about?
I don't know.
Starts at the B, ends with a T, and OA in the middle?
No.
Oh, I'm like, you don't get excited. What are you, no, are you excited for my birthday?
No, you are. I'm like, that's a lot of work. No, like, even, like, the boat, like, if you guys
so
know
great.
Us, like, we're, I'm a lake person, and have a new boat showing up, but I'm like, I'm not super excited about it. Like,
you don't get excited, so I'm just curious. When you say you get excited, I'm like, to do, pray tell, the excitement of life for you.
I think breakthroughs. I think finding breakthroughs, and I think a lot of people, especially in blended families, can relate to this, but having breakthroughs where you're like, aha moments, like, I'm making ground, things are going, like, for instance, this new software app that I'm developing. This might be the first time anyone's ever heard of it.
I think so.
Like, we have giant breakthroughs on it. And, like, for instance, like, the actual development of it starts Monday. And I don't know if you know this. Did I tell you this yet?
You said, yes, you okay. told me today.
Okay, yeah. So, like, that to me, I'm like, that's a huge breakthrough. That excites me. But that only excites me for 10 minutes because then everything else... Everything else
everything just, else brings you down.
No, it doesn't. I just mellow out about it. Then I'm like, all right, like, back to reality, because everything isn't super exciting and everything isn't super dramatic or a downer. So it's all right to hit those highs and hit those lows, but you're always, at least in my case, I always come right back to the middle and I just
like
kind of cruise. It's not, but
it is
if you don't know how to control it, you know?
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, it's okay to get excited. It's okay to be bummed. But if you live in one or the other, then you're crazy. So I'm like, I know how to manage them all, and I know how to feel.
I know how to manage all the personalities.
It's
in
not
my
a personality.
Head.
It's not a personality whatsoever.
It was just funny.
I know.
This is a really interesting one that somebody...
Can you talk about it for a long time so I can go get water?
No. Oh. This is a really interesting... We only have a couple more and we're done.
Okay.
This is a really interesting one that somebody wrote in. And she said that the lie that sometimes we believe is that time heals everything.
No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, and she's like, that's not true. Time doesn't heal things, but when you work on yourself, that heals things. That was her point. And I thought that was pretty brilliant. It isn't, if you work with me on any level, you're going to hear my little rant about time. We blame time as if time is something to blame, right? We are a victim of time. Time is neutral, kind of like money. Money's neutral. It just exists. It doesn't do anything to us, right? But like, oh, I didn't have time, as if time, like, time just exists, you guys. Like, time doesn't heal. Time doesn't have magical powers either.
If so, you just started saying passage of time, like, I'm just going to make a little meme about you.
Passage of time? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Some people are rolling right now.
Oh, like, I don't know.
I'm going to make, like, a little, like, comparison meme of you and then.
Okay.
Passage of timer.
Well, anyway, that's a lie. And I think we wait on time for things to get better and we do nothing, right? When we believe that lie, we're just waiting for time to take care of it. Why is this so funny?
As you enter through the passage of time.
But, and then nothing happens because you're just like, time's going to do it, as if time's a god or something. It's just very odd belief. And I grew up with that belief too. Like my grandmother, I heard, used to say time heals all wounds. And I just think you get desensitized, right?
That's
like
it.
Over
That's exactly
time,
what it is.
Things are less dramatic. But
well, and
you have to do
out,
the work.
You work things out and you talk things out and you might, let's go back to the number one, like you might just start believing lies where you're like, oh, well, that didn't actually happen that way. Yeah. You know, before you know it, you're just living a lie.
And one of the lies we always believe are assumptions, which I find very interesting. And this happens in co-parenting a lot, but also in marriage a lot. We assume what the other person meant by what they said, or we're filling in the blanks for what wasn't said with our like personal beliefs and biases. And so now we're believing all these lies in our head about stuff that's not even true because it's just assumptions. And I find that interesting. And I can't tell you how many people are fighting over things that were never even said because it's just assuming. Right?
Yeah,
these are lies too.
And now they're like, arguing about something that's not even arguable.
It didn't even happen.
Yeah.
But this is a very common thing. And it happens in co-parenting a lot too, because there's not great connection or communication.
Well, and people just assume they know how the other person's going to behave and react and what they're going to say and what they're going to do. And
or they assume they know their ex-spouse because they were married to them. That's my favorite.
10 years ago. Yeah.
As if I've not changed.
Yeah.
I've done a tremendous amount of work.
On
I mean, the last. Yeah, correct. Okay. We're just going to move on.
Oh, man.
Things will get easier. So, this was something that someone wrote in about. Things will get easier when the children are 18 and I don't have to co-parent with my ex anymore. She's got adult children now, and she's like, yeah, that was a lie I believed.
Here's something.
There's college and
no, yeah, but this is something that I just started thinking about, and I need to have a talk with you about, but I'm going to have a talk with you about it right now, because I feel like a lot of other people should hear this too, especially if you have kids that have graduated recently or have recently. What you need to do, and I'm talking to you, hon.
You never call me hun, so this is not going to be good.
No, this is a great thing. No, this is a very important thing, and I think a lot of people need to hear this. You need to, with your son going to away to college, if something were to happen to him, he's an 18-year-old, he's an adult now.
Correct.
Right? You need to get him to sign a power of attorney to you. So basically, if he were to get in a car accident and end up in a coma or get hurt and can't talk for himself, can't sign for himself, can't decide for himself, he needs a power of attorney. He needs someone like you to be able to reason for him.
I'm sure he would choose his dad, but I could try.
Okay, well then maybe he has his dad become a power of attorney,
yeah.
Because that is something that I think all 18 to 25 to whenever they're married year olds.
What happens if he doesn't? Do they not notify next of kin?
Yes.
Which would be me or his dad.
But how do they know who that actually is? You know? But if there's not actual power of attorney, then there's not. And again, I'm not a lawyer.
I'm
you
just
know?
Curious. Like, they just make the decisions themselves in the hospital and nobody else.
Yeah. And I don't truly know.
Oh.
But I know it's something like, I think before we even walked in here, like I've been listening to and studying a lot of like what people do in certain situations about certain situations. And this is one of those things that keeps coming up where I'm like, whoa, like that's something important that you should have in place.
T-minus like 10 days.
Yeah. But it's not a hard thing to do. I have someone that could draw something like that up for you very, very quickly. And whether it's you that signs for it, his dad that signs for it, it doesn't matter. Because I think if something were to happen, you and his dad would come together regardless to make the right decisions. So it doesn't matter who
signs
for it.
One would hope so, but I'm not the CEO.
Such stupidness.
So I don't know
sorry,
if I would get a
sorry
say.
For the inside jokes, you guys. No, but so anyways, I'm just telling you that. And I think a lot of people need to hear that, you guys, that if you have an 18-year-old, you know, in the house, out of the house, close by, they
That's
aren't married. Yeah, I think it's something that you guys should look into. Even, you know, you've got a 20-year-old, and I had to have this talk with him.
Yeah, it's really, really great advice. I'm really, really nervous for what's going to happen when he goes off to college.
Oh, but regardless, I mean, have him sign it to your mom. Have him sign it to your dad. You know what I mean? Have it in place with someone.
That's good. I need to talk to him about that. Yeah. Remind me. Well, we're going to be together for a few days. So
yeah,
that's a great conversation to have. All right. It's interesting though, because I think that this parenting's over at 18 lie is one I've hung my hat on.
Well, then what are we doing still?
Not parenting. I'm sorry. Co-parenting. And then I'm reminded, the other thing I've always known is that there's nothing more binding than having children with someone. Like, marriage ain't got nothing on that. You're connected forever through your children. So, yes, maybe you're not co-parenting day in, day out, but let's say your child has a health scare. You're both going to be there. Say there's a marriage or a graduation or a big life event or kids or, you know, there's still so many big life events ahead of our children post 18 that everyone should be present, accounted for financially. Weddings, what does that look like? Or
yeah,
college, what does that look like?
But don't treat that like a co-parenting event. Like, treat that like, hey, it's me and my child and them and their child, and go about your way, you know? Go about and do what you do.
No, that's good. Like, when I gave my son money for his first year of college, I did not give it to his dad.
Right.
I gave it to my son.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, I think that's the point though. And then he got to do with it, you know, like, you can, if it's all coming out of a certain bank account, then you make sure it gets to the correct bank account. But I didn't co-parent that. You know what I'm trying to say? I think that's like, to your point, like, when weddings come, right? Like, we'll deal with the kids about
yeah,
what we're going to
contribute.
You're not going
to co-parent, not unless you have a good co-parenting situation. Then you'd be like, okay, like, hey, what do you guys want to do with this? But that's...
Yeah, I'm still believing this lie.
People.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm hanging my hat there. Last one, and this is a stepmom wrote in about, so I'm going to present it because I think... Present it. I think I'm going to just leave it here because a lot of... This is something I got a lot when I asked this question. But the lie that these kids are none of my business.
What do you mean? Like the stepkids?
Yeah. So stepmoms. So when I asked this question, like, what's a lie that you've been told or that you've believed? Yeah. And stepmoms or stepparents, that's not just stepmoms, it's stepdads too, that these kids are none of my business. And that's a lie that they are told and then, you know, sometimes believe too. And so obviously, they are your business because the kids in your home, anyone who's living in your home, a roommate, you rented a room out, that affects your home experience. So certainly, kids are your business. Whoever is living in your home is your business because it affects your home life. So
I think this is a big reason why I think a lot of people hate me on this podcast that listen, is because I see things a lot differently. But I'm like, that is a huge reason. Like, and I'm agreeing with you, what you're saying, but that is an absolutely huge reason why I had so much thought, opinion, pushback on people who my ex dated, did whatever with, was with, whatever, is because I'm like, regardless of if you want my children to be your business or not, they're going to be your business. And they're going to be in and around you and associated with you and learning from you, good or bad, you know? And that is what frightened me about all of that. And I don't think enough people take that seriously. But yeah, that statement is 100% true and false. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, those kids are 100% your business.
They're your business. You might not have complete control or power or say, and they are your business, right? It's one of those things that both are true.
Right.
And hopefully you marry someone who respects you enough to take into consideration your thoughts and feelings and opinions. And it's a fine line. Like I say, I think there's no harder role than being the bio parent, because you're always in the middle of that, right?
All the roles are hard. There's no harder role than being the step parent either, because you have to do all the things and then have no authority. Like, it's all hard.
Bullshit. I feel like that's all mindset too. Like, that's the lies you believe.
No, it all is. It's all relevant. Like, all of it's hard. Everything has its quirks, and really, unless you can take it by the horns and take control and understand your role and what it does, and ultimately have hierarchy in a family and respect in a family, then none of it's going to go super well.
Yeah. True story. And so these are just some of the lies that we have uncovered and you guys have shared with us. If you have lies that you are believing or that you're being told about your blended family, your role, your experience, we'd love to hear them.
Comment below. That's let us right. hear. If you're listening or watching us, like, let us know some, because we will circle back around. So if you're watching us on YouTube, leave some comments below of some lies, because we'd like to hear them and like to respond to them. So
yeah. And the best way to combat lies is to get curious, right? So if you're feeling, because usually we feel the feeling before we realize why we're feeling this way. So if you're feeling sad, depressed, angry, frustrated, lonely, upset, get curious why you're feeling that way. And once you've uncovered your why, ask yourself, is it true? Is it true? Are you assuming something? Do you have facts, like Eric was saying in the beginning of the podcast? Like, he never said anything in court unless he could prove it 10 ways, right? Like, he was a truth teller. So with your own belief system, if you're having a low quality experience, get curious why that is, and then uncover the beliefs you have about yourself, the other person, your family, the world, and then ask yourself, is it true?
And if you need help, getting to that place and understanding that place and organizing that place, hit up Julie at becomingheard.com or send her an email at becomingheard.now.com becomingheardnow@gmail.com or leave a comment below. But if you guys made it this far, please don't forget to subscribe, leave us a good review, comment, become part of our group. We're here because of you guys. We aren't know-it-alls. We don't pretend to know it all. We don't pretend to have all the answers. It's building community. It's building community with people like you who are listening or watching and getting involved, that we can start these conversations that you can finish in your home. So we just thank you for being here on The Blended Life and can't wait to see you on the next one.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.